He is the AFL Games, a record holder. He's a little champ for the North Heidelberg Bulldogs as well in the Northern Footy League, just dominating proceedings week in and week out. And he's back again in the Friday Footy Preview. Good morning, Boomer.
Good morning, boys. Oh, Friday. I love Fridays.
Why do you love Fridays?
Oh, out of bed early, up at Adam. Football tomorrow, football tonight. Oh, it's great.
How cold is it in Yarrambat up in Adam these days on a Friday?
Oh, it's about 6 or 7 degrees in the city. It'd be about 12 degrees in Yarrambat. It's beautiful out there.
It's always warmer in the bat, isn't it?
Oh, it's about 3 degrees cooler in the bat. Just don't like telling people that.
Did you have the ice on the windscreen this morning?
It's way by a house with a garage. Whitey.
That's a great response. That is a great response.
I haven't had ice on my window for about 22 years, I reckon.
That is an outstanding response. Well played to you, Brent Harvey. Well played. Wish I had a garage. That is some other
thing. Haven't got a garage?
No.
Oh, you need a garage.
No, I haven't got one.
You got a garage, Woody?
Yeah, I got a garage, but there's too much stuff in the garage to put the car in.
So you've probably got indoor cricket or something set up out there, have you?
Yeah, it's a bit like that.
We live in the inner suburbs, don't we, Huff?
That's right.
It's a little bit more difficult.
Difficult.
He lives on about 20 acres. He's got 4 garages.
Not quite. Three, not 4.
There's a big shed out there somewhere too. Did you watch the game last night, Boom?
Oh, I certainly did. Thursday night footy. Had football training, had selection, and then rush time to watch the football. During the coaches talking the rooms and picking the teams and everything, all the boys are watching the football. Unbelievable. First 8 goals. They just started. I can remember watching the Essendon game versus Geelong. And they just smashed them. And there was no coming back for the Cats. No matter how good they played after quarter time, they were never going to win. That was the same last night for me. West Coast couldn't win after quarter time. It was unbelievable. I know you boys have been talking about it and the entries inside 50, but take those two players out. I reckon list committee at the West Coast Eagles today would be looking through this year's draft and saying who's a forward, because as soon as Kennedy or Darling go, they're going to need another tall forward. And do you think they went last night and thought, we haven't got the two tools, we have to play similar to a Richmond type of forward line? But they just bombed it in, didn't they? There was no structure to it. I still sit here and I'll say the most important kick in football is still the inside 50 kick.
Well, you were the master of that. That was your bread and butter.
Well, you watch it last night, it's damning. The evidence is damning. They just bombed it in. You've got no tools to mark it. You've got to lower your eyes. And the reason why I love Alistair Clarkson so much is because he's got the ability to change a game within a game. Mm-hmm. There's not too many coaches that can do that, and I don't think West Coast tried to do that until three-quarter time. They put McGovern up forward, but the game was done.
Mm. It's true. It's true that there wasn't a lot of change to the structure last night, was there? Even though it wasn't going their way, the West Coast Eagles.
I think the other interesting thing that Boomer makes about that kick inside 50, it was something that Essendon did a lot better this week. And, you know, even though they beat Brisbane Roma in the game before the bye, I know you were over in Mexico at the time, but their forward entries were horrendous and they've been poor all year. But last night they were very, very good. It looked a very different looking Essendon team forward to centre.
There was a couple in particular that caught my eye. One from Fantasia to Stringer in the first quarter where he took on his direct opponent out to the fat side. Stringer led into space. Josh Green over the top. I think that was to Stringer also in the first quarter. So, yeah, their entries were definitely a lot better. Sean McKernan probably didn't have a day that he wanted to, but I thought Mitch Brown was really good last night. He led up at the football quite well. Stringer was dangerous all night, and their smalls were dangerous. So I absolutely agree with Boomer. That's the money kick. Going inside 50 is the absolute money kick, because you know, if you can at least maintain some sort of possession inside your forward 50, you give yourself a chance to kick a goal.
Isn't it amazing? And I know the players will be doing this. They'll be looking at the ladder every 15 minutes, thinking it's going to change on a Tuesday when we all know it doesn't. And they'll be going, if only we beat Carlton, if only we beat the Western Bulldogs, you know, there's another 2 wins, then all of a sudden their season is still alive. Mate, if they can play like that, that's unbelievable football. And the greatest thing about last night for me was their run. McKenna off halfback, Saad played a great game. Fantasia's back in the team, Tip and Woody, and this is what we've been banging on since the start of the season. If they can deliver that, they just can't deliver that consistently.
No. Ram and I talked about this yesterday, about trusting Essendon. It's very hard to trust them, but when you look at what they've done now over the last month, four or five they've won now, including some teams that are currently inside the top 10 on the ladder. But the thing that I think has improved Essendon, Ram, and I'm interested in your thoughts on this, is some of the youngsters. So Langford's now had 5 games, and he should never have been dropped when he was after round 2 or 3, but he had a career-high 24 disposals last night. Redmond, Guelphy, We know of Francis that isn't too far away. There's a few of the younger players, obviously McGrath's a number one pick, but some of their youngsters look okay.
Oh, I agree with that, and I don't think McGrath's having anywhere near the year that he was having last year. He's still a very, very good player, but you know, he was outstanding in his first year. I love Guelphy. He does some hard work. There's a couple of occasions last night when a contested football needed to be won. He just put his head over the football, absorbed the tackle, restart, and you know, off you go again. So I really enjoy what he does. Redmond was on crutches at the end of the game last night, so that was late in the game. He got his ankle caught in a tackle, so he's been good. Jordan Ridley was the other one who's been out injured. He's been good. So you know, they are blooding some young players. The Bombers are for the future, so and that's without even Darcy Parrish in the team.
Is he injured? No.
He is now. Sorry,
okay.
He did get dropped. Yeah. He did get dropped. So they're, you know, they were planning on making him earn his spot back as they did with Langford. You know, Langford played a significant amount of time in the reserves to start the season, but now he and the club are getting the rewards.
I think we thought this was going to happen a little bit earlier and quicker for me, because when all the senior players were banned and all those young players came in, we just thought, wow, this is going to be a big year for us. And imagine when they get all their senior players back, and it didn't gel the way everyone thought it would. So we know they're capable, and the trust word Whitey that you use all the time, I just can't trust them, is exactly where they're at right now. But they'll be kicking themselves with a couple of poor losses.
The other significant performance last night was Tom Bell Chambers. I think particularly early in the game, how he was able to neutralise Nat Nui and Lysett. He basically rucks alone. Sean McKernan comes in and does pinch hit, but Bell Chambers, his ability in the centre bounce against Nat Nui, but around the ground, he's marking at the moment. I think he took 8 marks last night. He's in career best form, Tommy.
Yeah, he is, and he's symptomatic of Essendon, though.
Yeah, he is. No doubt about that.
When he plays well, Essendon plays well. When he plays poorly, and he can have poor games, Essendon are poorly. But, Half, you know, you were talking about Kennedy and also Darling not playing for West Coast. I think it's important to mention that Joe Danaher wasn't playing for Essendon. Mm. And you can even also throw in a couple of other forwards that weren't there for Essendon last night that they would have had as their initial structure at the start of the year. So that makes it even better for me that Essendon was able to do what it did without one of the best forwards in the competition.
Are we seeing Joe Danaher? You said about six weeks ago that he won't play for the rest of the year anyway.
I maintain the only way he will play again is if Essendon are a chance to play finals. Otherwise, I think he'll be... And I don't think Essendon will play finals, and I don't think we'll see him again this year.
Do we know anyone that manages him?
No. Rama doesn't.
No.
Nigel Carmody from TLA Worldwide.
So we do know someone that manages him.
I don't.
I didn't say you. I said, do we know? The question was, do we know someone?
Yeah, we do.
Well, the answer was yes then. Don't give me, I don't do it.
No, you said in this room.
Yeah. Do we know anyone in this room that knows the manager?
No. That knows the manager.
You're very defensive.
No, honestly, I don't know with Joey if he will be back or not. He was obviously very sore. And I read with interest yesterday, in that little period where they played 3 games in 10 days, when he was really sore, he played 97% game time through that little period. So, obviously, that was a significant amount of game time, and he was playing in pain. So, I do feel for Joey a little bit. He carried it through the preseason. He tried to carry it through the early part of the season. But as we all know, Boomer, when you have those type of injuries and you lose your power and your drive, football becomes very difficult.
It's funny, you know, when you've got an injury to the groin, you think, oh, that's the most important part of my body because I'm changing direction. Then you get a busted finger or a busted hand, you think, that is the most important. I'm handling the ball all the time. Then you do your shoulder and you think, nah, I can't mark. That's the most important thing. So the injuries, they're funny for me. But I don't think, why would they play him 3 games in 10 days?
Exactly.
Well, that's amazing.
Yeah. John Westfeld did say during the week that Joe Danaher is not back anytime soon.
So,
so he did put that on the record during the week, and we've just completed round 14.
It hasn't got a lot of soon left, really, before we get to the end of the season. So to your point, I mean, they've got to find another way to score anyway and find a new setup without him. If he's not going to play, they've got to find a way to finish the season off and hopefully be finals contenders without him. So I what we saw last night, I think your point about Mitch Brown was really, really good. It was almost that when James Stewart's playing really well, that was the role that, that he would play.
Yep.
He's not there at the moment.
So those two compete for that spot.
Yeah, and he did a great. Hell of a job. Yeah. I think it did sort of break up the defence of the West Coast Eagles too. It draws them out, and then you get your overlap run and you're away.
I think Stringer's now really found his feet, found his spot within the Essendon team. He's had some pretty good games now.
Good games in a row to Stringer. I still think the most important, almost the most important player at Essendon, and Rama has mentioned this a lot, is Fantasia. He's so important to Essendon because he's that player that cross half forward that is really energetic and he creates movement. He can then go into the midfield as well and pinch hit. He's quick. He's a very, very important player.
Well, it's the unpredictability when he has the ball in hand. Like that kick inside forward 50 last night to Stringer where he took on his direct opponent in Liam Duggan, turned him inside out, was able then to balk around Jeremy McGovern was fantastic. But what that allows, it takes the pressure off McDonald, Tip and Woody. Now, I think it's no surprise and no fluke since Fantasia's come back into the team, there's been a spike in Tip and Woody's form. Last night, again, his pressure was up. And some of his ball that Tip and Woody won through the middle of the ground, but then was able to use it forward and hit a target, I just thought was significant. So, you know, they've got a 4-week little run. Yep, North Melbourne and Collingwood are going to be difficult games. If they can get through those two, then they've got Gold Coast and Fremantle. Fremantle at Etihad and Gold Coast up there. You know, there's no reason why they can't win three of those four games.
That's a minimum requirement.
Possibly will be. Speaking of important games, tonight's game in Adelaide is such
cracker. Absolute
Port
cracker.
Adelaide and Melbourne will be a ripper, and we will talk about that on the Friday footy preview with the AFL Games record holder Brent Harvey on the Breakfast Club after this.
Victoria's own Breakfast Club.
There'll be some fireworks out there early. You wouldn't want to get caught between the two or three people that are going at the ball, I wouldn't have thought, because it could be a dangerous spot to tread. It's our contested work. There's no doubt we've really got back on top of that. And, you know, tomorrow night's going to be a great test because they're number one in the competition in that space. And, you know, we're going to find out where we're at. We raise your Max Gorn with a Paddy Ryder type scenario. And it's going to be a great battle, isn't it? Like, they're two outstanding rucks. Max is a great player and Paddy's in pretty good nick at the moment. So it's going to be one for people to come along and have a look at, I reckon. You're coming for something, you come and watch Max and Paddy go at it, I reckon. And the win is probably going to have a pretty big impact.
I reckon you might be right. 25 past 7, that is Ken Hinckley, the coach of the Power, getting ready for Friday Night Footy against the D's tonight at the Adelaide Oval. I see you, Max Gorn. I raise you a Paddy Ryder. I see you, Jack Viney. I raise you an Ollie Wines. It's a festival of awesomeness through the middle of the ground. I see you, Nathan Jones. I raise you, Sam Powell-Pepper. It's going to be awesome around the contest tonight. I cannot wait to see this game. Ins for the Power, Jonas. Out goes Homsch. And for the Demons, Smith and Tyson gets a crack at it. Out goes Spargo and Pedersen after 1 week. It is going to be a night for the Bulls tonight, Whitey, to see who can control that area of the ground. As you heard Ken say there, that Melbourne are number one in their contested situation, but Port Adelaide are more than capable in that area of the ground.
Yeah, and the game even gets a little bit more important after what happened last night, because that whole idea of West Coast, maybe just coming back to the pack a little bit, that both Melbourne and Port Adelaide feel that they are potential top four teams. That, I think, makes tonight even more delicious.
What are you looking forward to seeing, Boomer?
Yeah, I think you just knocked the nail on the head, half those inside battles. And can I just start, too, by saying congratulations to Ollie Wines. Oh, I love seeing that loyalty part in football. Yes, he could have held out for a little bit longer, got a little bit more cash somewhere else, but commit to his football club. Oh, I love seeing that. So well done to Ollie Wines. The ruck's going to be a massive duel. Look, I think Port Adelaide's defenders going really well at the minute. And they don't get probably the recognition that they... I would look at Port Adelaide's team and say that is the weakness, because I think they've got a really good midfield. Their forwards are obviously very good. And I would look there and say, if you're going to beat them, it's the defence that you'll beat them with. But their intercept mark, who's down there now? Jonas, Burn Jones, he's just coming. He played a loose man last week and dominated, I thought he played great off half-back. So, look, I'm looking forward to the midfield battle, as I'd probably do every single week, but I think Port are the real deal. I think Port are the real deal. I got them finishing third this year. They finished in the top four for me.
You got them finishing third?
Yep. I think they're just about to click. I think their players coming in have played enough football now. I know that Watts is out of the team, but if he gets another opportunity later in the year, I feel like he'll grab it. Lindsay Thomas is another opportunity. Motlop hasn't played great football, but I think he's skillful enough to be around there and just impact games when he needs to. And I think they're going to finish the year really well.
This is simply top four defining for both teams.
Both teams 8 wins at the moment.
Yeah, but if you look at their both teams' next three, Melbourne's next three, St Kilda, Fremantle, Western Bulldogs all at home. And then you look at Port Adelaide's next three, Carlton, St Kilda, Fremantle.
Oh.
So
someone could win four in the trotty.
That's right.
And then the Bulldogs after that.
Yeah, yeah. So that's where I think what I'm most looking forward to tonight is if Melbourne, if they can handle the hype, if they can handle the pressure of Friday night football, big game. Like Melbourne haven't won on a Friday night for years.
They very rarely play on a Friday night.
That's because they haven't probably been in that position.
Hard to win if you don't play, though, isn't it?
In those games. But it's a blockbuster game that Melbourne, I think, need to make a statement in.
It was really interesting, some of the comments that Goodwin made during the week, where he actually sort of faced that demon of, pardon the pun, of the not playing well on the big stage. And he kind of said, well, look, you know, we had this hoodoo with Docklands. We've smashed that. We had this hoodoo that we didn't beat the teams that we should have beaten. We've smashed that. This is the next one we need to smash, yeah. And that is that we need to be able to play on the big stage. So he didn't sort of hide behind it or anything like that. He said, no, it's on us. We've got to get better at this.
Yeah, and you do. You've got to face those challenges head on. And I think Goody is the type of coach that won't be afraid to mention that to his playing group. Here's the facts, boys.
The other interesting thing, Half, when we spoke to Maxi Gorn on Tuesday, they had their half-year review after the game on the Monday night after the Collingwood game. And they all left very positive. So even though I think their form's just trailed off a little bit in the last couple of weeks against the Bulldogs and then Collingwood, that he felt that there was a lot to like about what had happened through the first half of the year, and they went to their break feeling pretty good about where they were at. And they're very comfortable that they're going to be good in the second half of the year.
I wonder how much the mental demons do come into this, Rammer. I've been thinking about that since you said it. It was Hawthorn, Richmond, and Maxie spoke about that during the Prosper Inner Sanctum on Tuesday with us. But also Collingwood, Queen's birthday, big day, the Freeze MND thing. It was a whole big affair, and they didn't find their best, and haven't found their best in any of those big occasions this year. So there is that hanging over their head, I agree with you, and they've got to travel to do it again tonight, which makes it all the more difficult against the rampaging Power. It's a terrific test for the Dees tonight.
And it's a terrific opportunity, I think. And like, you know, I just mentioned, their next three games after this are very, very favourable because they're all at home. They're all at the MCG, where they obviously play very well and should beat those opponents. But you look at the two teams, and it's pretty handy when you can name Boak, Robbie Gray and Chad Wingard in your forward line for the Power. You know, their midfield ends Rockcliffe, Wines, Brad Ebert. So
don't forget Sam Gray.
Sam Gray is a terrific player.
He's well underrated. He's a great little player.
One guy that's gone really under the radar for Port Adelaide this year is Jad Pollock. I think you look at the stars of the show at Port Adelaide, he's definitely one of the stars of the show. With his run and carry, his metres gain is through the roof.
If you put names up on a wall, all the teams, their best 22, and you looked at Port Adelaide's best 22, I think it's the best 22. Just on names.
Can they all play to that level, though?
This is the point. I agree with you that Rockcliffe's their best month is good.
Rockcliffe's last month has been much better than his start of the season. Yeah. And again, that's finding his feet.
And getting his body right. Adelaide,
and getting his body right, again, Motlop hasn't set the world on fire, but he's just got that ability to step up on occasions. We've seen him kick the winning goal against Adelaide, I think it was. I just think they're starting to gel now.
I love their defence. The fact that they've dropped Watts,
I just think sends a statement to everyone. Rightio, it doesn't matter who we are, where you come from, you're dropped. You're not performing. Lindsay Thomas, come straight in, played okay. Hopefully he plays well again tonight, keep his spot. Yeah, and I'm with you, Ram. I mentioned it before, that the defence is underrated. I think they've got
no-name, no-frills defence.
Team defence.
Yeah, they just go about their business. They leave Homsch out today. They bring back in Jonas, who's a terrific player. He was in the 40-man All-Australian squad last year. So they just get the job done. So the important matchup tonight for Port Adelaide's defence is Jesse Hogan. He's in really good touch at the moment. Really, really good touch. Gets himself right up the ground to find the ball. You know, he's kicking goals. So he's a really important matchup. The Ryder Gawn, that matchup's just huge, Huff. Mm. Like, you know, first use for any of those midfielders taking the ball forward is just enormous. So I'm not sure who wins tonight. It's a terrific matchup.
I'll tell you where the game could be won for me. Melbourne play a super proactive defence, like really proactive, up the ground, zoning grass rather than the player. When you've got players, and you mentioned a couple of them, Wingard, Gray, Sam Gray, Boak, when they win the ball port, we know that they want to play a fast brand of football, probably the fastest in the competition for me. They want to keep the ball alive. When they turn it over at half back and their half forwards bolt forward, can Melbourne's proactive defence without Jake Lever stand up to Port Adelaide not getting out the back? That's where the game's won or lost for me tonight.
It's going to be a fascinating affair, no doubt. I cannot wait to see the Bulls in the paddock. That's what I want tonight. Just give me the Bulls in the paddock and see how
Ollie
they go.
Ollie and Jack?
Ollie and Jack. Pal Pepper. Jones.
Brayshaw.
Petraka.
Yeah, Ebert.
Oliver.
Just get me some Bulls in the paddock and just go at it. I can't wait to see it. Whitey, who wins?
Port Adelaide for me, because I just like the fact that on the big stage in the showdown and then again against Richmond, they actually did stand up. There's a bit more substance to them at the moment, so I don't think Melbourne are quite ready.
Boomer?
I think on the back of Port's fast ball movement can catch Melbourne out. I'm going to go with Port.
I don't remember.
Until Melbourne show me that they can play on this stage consistently, you have to pick Port Adelaide.
There's that trust word again.
Yeah, trust is important in footy. No one knows it better than you, Boomer. It's two goals either way here, but I think Port Adelaide have the advantage the way they're playing and the challenges that Melbourne have to overcome tonight at the Adelaide Oval. It's going to be a ripper Friday night footy on... in Adelaide.
Now, last night, you tipped West Coast. Boomer, you tipped West Coast. Yes. Ram and I tipped Essendon.
What?
So.
Where'd that come from?
Absolutely. There was none of that going on. No. You tipped West Coast. I remember this conversation. You're cheating. This is going to come up in match committee. Where are those government supervisors? 26-8. We're going to
They're
talk to them. We're going to talk to them.
Across this sporting state, RSN 927's Breakfast Club.
Andrew Bogan, Emma Carney still to come on the Breakfast Club after 8 o'clock before we hand over to Michael Felgate on Racing Pulse. Don't miss that. The Friday edition, always great listening on RSN 927. But you're in the middle of the Friday footy preview with Brent Harvey, the AFL Games record holder, every week on the Breakfast Club throughout the footy season. Great to have his company. And we're one game into round 14, one of the bye rounds boys, of course. And we've got five games still to be played. We had a chat about Friday night footy, which leaves four more games to be played. Let's have a quick look at all of those. Not, in fairness, not overly enticing contests.
Let's be honest, it's a horrible weekend.
Not overly enticing contests is how we'd like to phrase it.
I'm going to the country footy tomorrow.
Where are you going?
Haven't decided yet.
Go watch North Heidelberg.
No, I've got to go to the country. Boomer.
Go watch us. I feel like Shane Harvey's going to put on his
just
show.
Just on that, my wife, the world champ, she's on the Druin train. She wants to support Druin because they haven't won in a long time.
Druin?
Yeah. I don't know how she's onto it. She's got a mate that plays at Mafra, or her personal trainer used to play at bloody Mafra or something. Or Sale. I don't know, one of them.
Mafra, that's where Ben Robinson's from.
Druin and Mafra, that's a fair distance away.
Well it must be Sale then.
Whitey, weren't you going to put
and
a team
Sale's
together?
A fair way away as well.
Well, they're in the bloody same draw.
I was, but yeah.
Anyway, she's barracking for Druin.
No takers.
She's barracking for Druin, so maybe we should angle getting you to play for Druin.
It's not me. It's I want everyone to play.
Well, I'll play too, but you're the one that you're the star power.
Where does Whitey play? Little forward pocket? Bang?
Is that a question?
Yeah, that was a question.
It's
oranges.
Everyone out of the 50.
And push everyone up and just say, hey.
Exactly right.
Nice.
Let the games
just
begin.
On this round, yes. And they are pretty ordinary games if you look at it. Like Western Bulldogs and North should be a better game, but the Bulldogs just have a hell of a lot of injuries. But I want to see something this week from Gold Coast, and I want to see something this week from Carlton. I know Gold Coast almost got over the line last week, but can they back it up now? Can they do it for a couple of weeks in a row, Boomer? Because they haven't had a great year. I understand that circumstances were difficult at the start of the year with the amount of travelling that they did, but you know, they've come in for a lot of criticism, over the recent weeks. So going to Tassie, it's always a tough ask for any team. But, you know, can they go down there? Can they show something? Carlton last week was a disaster. you know, an absolute disaster for them. So, it just, I just want to see more from those clubs. I want to see them developing.
That's why are you laughing at?
I think he must be going down there for that game and just hoping for something. Because it's a long way to go for a rubbish yes, game, Rammer.
Are you going, Rammer?
Yes, I am.
Special comments.
Along with Daniel Hufford.
I'll be down there as well. Thanks to Jimmy Bartel for a swap.
So half sort of doubling up. He's doing the special comments and also the function before the game just to make it worth his while.
Cashies. No, I'm with you though, Rammer. I think all the supporters want to see is clearly not the Carlton performance of the first half last week. No. And then they start hanging on to, our second half was much better. Let's just give us four quarters.
Spot on.
You might not win the game, and probably no one other than Kiss of Death is going to tip Carlton to beat Collingwood. But just have a crack.
But give effort. Go and win the contested possessions. Go and have the most tackles on the ground. Or go and run and carry the ball. You know, take risks through the middle of the ground. Run and bounce and create some excitement. You know, these Carlton... In previous years, they were so good defensively. And we're going, oh, geez, they're so boring to watch because they just defend. Now, you know, they can't defend their own shadow in some cases. So, I want to see Carlton maybe against Collingwood drag it into a scrap. Win contested possessions. Win tackles. Gold Coast tomorrow. You know, you've got these young attacking players. Attack through the middle of the ground.
I tell you what, it's not a bad position for Gold Coast to travel right now. Mm. If I was Stuart Dew... and the match committee or whoever gets involved, and the leaders of the football club, I'd be trying to build a culture. Now, there's nothing better than going away with your teammates for 2 days, play a game of football, prepare to play a game of football, jump back on the plane and get home. Now, it's much better when you win, obviously, and no one's going to give Gold Coast a chance this week. But you can start building that foundation of what Stuart Dew wants to be about. So going away right now, they can't make finals. Go away and set up a structure of travel. And just tell the boys, you've got to enjoy this experience. Who knows who's going to be here next year? Enjoy it and build a massive culture.
And it's funny, you sit there and we'll look at Gold Coast tomorrow half at the game, and I'm wondering what's their style, what's their brand of football at the moment. I'm not clear on that yet.
No, I think it's a fair question to ask, and I'll be paying attention to that tomorrow as well. By the way, for all in for Brand, Tommy Mitchell plays his 100th game, and Peter Wright, and Jacob Dawson's on debut from Palm Beach Currumbin up there in Queensland. Jack Bowes and Rory Thompson out injured for the Gold Coast Suns. What we do know in this game, Whitey, is that if Hawthorn lead at three-quarter time, they win because Gold Coast just don't score in the last quarter. It's just what they do.
2 points in the last four games is their record in their last four matches.
It's extraordinary, really.
I
can't wait to see what happens.
I really can't say anything about the game tomorrow because I just think it's just a non-event.
Your family barrack for Hawthorn. Why wouldn't you get involved there and just support them through this?
I genuinely don't know what to say about it. I mean, Gold Coast have just been so disappointing over the last month, and Hawthorn are building, and they need to improve their percentage. Mm. So they've got a great opportunity here to play well. And
that's a good point.
As Isaac Smith said on Wednesday to us, that third quarter was the best quarter of football. He said that they've played not just this year, but since their premiership years. He said it was the first time it felt like they were playing the sort of footy that could see them contending this year. So if that's what happened in the third quarter against Adelaide, down there, it's going to be pretty messy.
We'll see what happens at University of Tasmania Stadium tomorrow.
It'll be like a 5-15 sort of game.
I'm okay with that. Brisbane Lions take on the GWS Giants. Now, they haven't been poor, the Brisbane Lions. They've been good. They've had their moments, but their style suggests that they've got something, and their players and the output suggest they've got something. The Giants have found a bit of their mojo, although they had a setback during the week with Rory Lobb. Thatch Walker comes back in.
Who?
With Thatch. Jimmy's mate, Thatch. Josh Walker.
Oh, right.
He's got the little raccoon on his head. Thatch Walker, Joshy, is in with Reece Matheson. McStay goes out with Keys. And for the Giants, Coniglio, Simpson, Finlayson, one of my boys, I like him, comes in for Lloyd, Lobb, and Perryman Boomer. Brisbane have shown enough. The Giants are rolling. They're Gabba tomorrow at 4:35. Any interest in the Lions for you?
Oh, there's not a shouldn't say there's not a great deal of interest because I think Brisbane have actually been playing some decent football without winning. For me, Giants have been that sleeping giant, pardon the punt, to get their players back. They've had a lot of injuries. They've got Cameron back now. Coniglio's a massive in. Finlayson plays some good football down back. So they haven't had their better players on the park every single week. For me, I think Giants win, but I think it's going to be a massive game for Brisbane to see where they're at and if they can play well against a team that's going to be thereabouts. And let's face it, we all thought GWS were going to make the eight this year, and I think if they didn't have the injuries, they probably would have.
Yeah.
But you know, Kelly coming back into the team straightens them up a little bit with his silky skills on the outside. So not a lot of love for Brisbane. I think GWS do win the game, but I think Brisbane will put up a great contest.
GWS is next four after this game, so it's an absolute must win and a must. They need a heavy win as well to create some percentage. They play Hawthorn at home, West Coast away, Richmond at home, Port Adelaide.
GWS finished 10th.
That's a really tough next month after this one for GWS, Whitey.
I like what Boomer's done. He's done his ladder.
And he's done his ladder. If you want to know my ladder, I can...
I'll get back to the ladder. I want to find your ladder later on.
What about your form ladder? What's
form ladder's on fire.
Where is
on
that?
On fire. I want to say too much at the moment, but it's on fire.
It's
Whitey.
Next to the spreadsheet. Yeah. It's under wraps.
Yeah. They are actually next to each other.
You've got to actually fill them out.
They're all filled out. I'm just not giving away too much too soon. Round 15 is always the number.
I think the Giants might be like Essendon. I think that they may have left their run too late. I think their form has been exceptional in the last few weeks, and I think they'll win this one and win this one well. But it's just a question of whether too much damage has been done. I still think the Giants could make the finals, and I think they'll be the dangerous sleeper when they do.
No, they're 10th, mate. They're 10th.
The Giants win for me, but I think Stephen Martin, if the Brisbane Lions are to have any chance in this, he has to be the dominant player on the ground, I think. Yeah. Just with the guys on the ground for the Giants compared to the quality for the Brisbane Lions at this stage, that's going to be the challenge for them. So Stephen Martin has to dominate if the Brisbane Lions are a chance, as far as I'm concerned, in that game tomorrow at the Gabba. Tomorrow night at Etihad Stadium, we've got the Bulldogs taking on your boys, Boomer, North Melbourne. Dale Morris is back. Dunkley, Adams and Norton as well. So they got some defensive cover there, the Western Bulldogs. McRae goes out. That's a massive one, as is Easton Wood. Lucas Webb and Biggs go out as well. Lucky Dalhouse plays game number 150. And for the Kangaroos, Rovat and Anderson back in. Ted Anderson, it's good to see him back. Out goes Zerha and Hartung. What have Billy Hartung done wrong, Boomer?
I don't know. Actually, it's the first time I've seen that little... Billy's out. I thought he was going okay. Runs and carries the ball, gives North something that they probably need, that little bit of outside run. So obviously he's got some stuff to work on by the looks of this.
Is that all you got for me?
That's all I got for Billy.
He's been playing really well.
Oh, I thought he's been playing well as well. So I'm not in match committee.
I think anybody that's left out of the North Melbourne side at the minute is unlucky.
What do you mean that for?
Well, Anderson had to come back in. Yeah. He's been playing exceptional football, so someone had to go out.
It's really Rovat has been given an opportunity
chance,
because he's been playing well in the VFL. Right. And
so I like what Brad's doing here, because he's keeping guys hungry, and I think that's really important. So you know, North, right at the minute, they're sitting in eighth spot, so it's an absolute must win for them to keep their form and momentum going. But I think it's a great, you know, Billy's come in. He was given a lifeline really at North Melbourne, so. He played some good. He had some good early form. His form may have just dropped off slightly. So take him back for a couple of weeks. Get him hungry again.
Yeah, I don't think he's done too much wrong. No, he hasn't done too much wrong. As I said, he's got that outside carry that North really need. So for me, it's exactly what Ram is saying. Anderson was a no-brainer. Had to come back in. Rovat gets an opportunity. So unfortunately, two players come in half. Two players go out.
Shows reward at VFL level for your form.
It's important to do that. Why do the Bulldogs? $5 outsiders here, it does seem to be quite a large price,
even though
North Melbourne should win.
Just the injuries they've got. There's too many good players out of the team. I mean,
we get some good cover, though. I mean, Morris, Dunkley, Adams and Norton are pretty handy.
Jackson
three
McRae,
defenders.
Jackson McRae's had a pretty good year.
To lose
McRae and Ward with the players that are already out of the team, I can't see how they can compete with North Melbourne. I think this is a game that North Melbourne needs to not only win, but win by a big margin. We were talking before about Hawthorn getting some percentage. I think we're going to see a few blowouts in the sort of this phase of the season, because teams need to build on their percentage that are up near the sort of the top six or seven, because it is going to determine top four, but probably top two and maybe even top eight. So you've just got to take the opportunities when they come.
Bontempelli looked sore last week too. He had a couple of big knocks, landed on his knee a couple of times, and just looked up and got up and looked really proppy for me. So if he's not at his best and McRae goes out, it's going to be hard for the Bulldogs, I would have thought.
All right, all of us on the Kangas there. Colin at Carlton, MCG Sunday, the only game, 3:20 leading into the 6 o'clock news for the networks. Appleby extended squads. C. Brown.
This is a Fox Footy game.
Extending the news. They love the news on Fox Footy. Appleby, C. Brown.
They go to the lab.
Crocker, Oxley and Sear come in to the squad. Wells out injured, of course. Mullet, Holson, Garlett, Phillips, Kennedy come in for the Blues. Sam Kerridge out with a groin jacket. Wiedering plays game number 50, as does Darcy Lang, who's come across from the Cats at the start of the season. Boomer, you talked before about you bringing effort for the Blues on Sunday. Collingwood certainly have brought that this year. They've been fantastic with the way they've played. Structurally, how can they defeat Collingwood, the Blues, on Sunday?
They can't.
They just can't. That would have been my answer too.
No, I think unless Cripps goes and plays at centre half back and they clone him and you've got one in the middle and maybe clone him again and get one at centre half forward, I don't think they can win because Collingwood are going really well. I'm wrapped for blokes like Lyndon Dunn who have just come in and just, you know, everyone wrote his career off and he's just gone to the next level now in being a really good defender. Sharon Berg's done exactly the same. They're just good. Their midfield's bats really deep. I know they lost Daniel Wells, and that's a bit of a shame, but their midfield bats deep. And for the first time for a long time, my biggest knock on them, and I still don't believe that they can rely on Hoskin Elliott, Stevenson, these type of guys to kick them 4 or 5 goals. Good to see big Mason Cox get amongst the goals the other week and kick a little bag. They need another tall forward still for me, but their unconventional style, or I shouldn't say style, unconventional setup up forward is getting the job done. Dugowie's having a fantastic season, so it's going to be hard. I do think Carlton have a bright future, and I look at their spine down the Wiedering, Marchbank, in the Cripps in the middle, Curnow forward and McKay up forward. I think they have. You can build a team around that. They've got to go to the draft now and get a really good on-baller. I think there's a fantastic young on-baller out there.
Oh, yeah.
Young Walshy. If I had pick number one, I don't think I'd worry about Lukosius for Carlton. I'd go and get the best midfielder. Mm. You got Paddy Dow there as well. And build a team around this exciting midfield with Cripps leading the charge.
All right, but we won't waste too much time on that game if we don't think there's too much to talk about. Collingwood win.
Well,
Collingwood to win. That's the other tips for round 14. We'll get to a break. We'll come back and get Whitey's multi v Quinn. Did you win the multi last week?
We did. On fire with the multi. Just to clarify a few things, Druin have won one game.
Correct.
In the Gippsland Footy League.
Maffer on top, 9-1.
Yes.
Sailor 8-2, sitting third on percentage.
Very good. And a couple of text messages. Yes, we all did tip West Coast last night. We're not going to cheat and give Essendon. We're only joking. And also, the Channel 7 game, it isn't on Sunday. It's a Fox game because Channel 7 have got the Thursday night game. So there are only Channel 3 games a weekend on free-to-air television. So they go Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, which means the Sunday game is a Fox exclusive
Channel 7
game.
Are doing the VFL on Sunday, Box Hill and Essendon.
Thanks for that, Robert Fidgen.
Hey.
Not much more you can do, Rammer.
I don't want to watch the VFL.
Not much more you can do.
Not all of us can afford Foxtel like you, Whitey.
Not much more you can do, Rammer.
It's a good call, Rammer.
Go the mighty drawing. And we've got the Friday face-off about to happen now because what we do here every week is pick a category of stats on Friday Night Footy. All of us get a selection. We play for someone listening out there in RSN land, and the winner of that gets a round of golf for 4 people and drinks in the sports bar at the all-new Warragul Country Club. You also get a dozen Callaway Chrome soft golf balls with a new graphene-infused dual soft fast core and a $50 voucher to Ribera's at Swallows Seafood Restaurant just for entering at rsn.net.au. As I bang the spring again. It's a bloody loud spring, then. Now, I was victorious last week, of course.
So that means you go...
So I go last. But I've got...
The category
is Kentuckys.
Kentuckys.
Contested possessions. We've got bulls in paddocks tonight. So we want the one that could stand out amongst the... and be the biggest bull. Yeah. And get the footy tonight. So
I think I'm first.
It's contested possessions.
That's because you're the lowest seed.
You are the lowest seed this week, so you get first crack at the best bull.
It's clear. He's going to pick Ollie Wines. It's clear.
Who are you going to pick?
Clayton Oliver.
Damn
every
it.
Single day of the week.
Damn it.
Clayton Oliver.
He is the youngest bull in this paddock.
Who are you playing for?
I'm playing for Dean Williamson from Mowi. So
we're sitting fourth in the Gippsland League at the moment.
Yes.
Six and four.
So Clayton is the youngest bull in the paddock, but he has the most presence and power of any bull.
Clayton Oliver for Rammer. Boomer, it must be you.
Yeah, well, we haven't had a kickoff. I should be leading, but I'm 15 behind.
I'll be on four as well.
That's unbelievable.
I'm not sure when this kickoff's happening. Either.
It'll happen. It'll happen.
Then we've got a double kickoff because we're coming.
I'm involved in about four kickoffs.
It's like the spreadsheet.
Fizz Edders won't
anyway,
be
I'm currently on one, but I should be on nine.
So you playing for, Boomer?
I am playing for Martin Johnson from Ashburton.
Yes, and you are taking. Which
well, I was taking Oliver. I tried to stooge him, but I'm going to take Ollie Wines. Just signed, and he's just going to give the Port Power fans the reason why he's the best bull.
He'd take the foot off the accelerator now.
Signed for a big 4 years, to sit down for 4 years on his backside. nice work, Whitey. You've got next selection, please.
He's a numbers man. He goes Robbie Gray.
No, he goes Jack Viney.
Just let him pick, would you? Shut up.
Craig Smith from Strathfield Say. We are going with Jack Viney.
Viney for Whitey. Nice work.
It was a toss-up. I really was keen to go on someone else, but I didn't.
Pearl Pepper. He won't win.
Righto. That means I'm going for Pearl Pepper. He will win. And I'm playing for Scott Millwood from Narre Warren South. So good luck to all their contestants. Rammer's got Clayton Oliver. Boomer's got Ollie Wines. Whitey's got Jack Viney. And I've got Sam Powell Pepper for the Friday Face-Off. Contested possessions tonight, Friday Night Footy in Adelaide. That is the Friday Footy preview done and dusted. Boomer, great to see you, buddy.
Yes, good to be here again. See you all next week.
Have a great weekend with the Bulldogs. Good luck to North Heidelberg, and we'll catch you next week on the Friday Footy preview. We'll get to the break. The news, in fact, Johnny Bowden about to join you. After that, Andrew Bogut will join us on The Breakfast Club. And Emma Carney, the best player in the AFLW, she'll be a part of the team as well. Stick around on RSN 927.